Now, 2026 will see Donald Trump embark on his sixth year as US president, his second term. And as we've been discussing, a peace deal for Ukraine remains on his to-do list. But at home, the rising cost of living and the impending midterm elections are among the issues facing President Trump as he heads into the new year. To unpack some of these issues in greater detail, I spoke to former RTE Washington correspondent Carol Coleman and analyst and lecturer at University of Galway, Larry Donnelly. And I began by asking about the Ukraine peace talks and if, as the Ukraine president has said, the deal is 95% there, how hard will it be to bridge the final 5%?
I think it's going to be very difficult. I think the big issue here is how serious is Vladimir Putin about a real, genuine deal with Ukraine. I don't think his signature or his word are worth very much, if history is any guide. Zelensky is obviously in a very difficult position. The one thing that I think is straightforward in all of this is what Donald Trump wants. Donald Trump wants a headline so he can say, yes, I've ended another war. He'd prefer that a ceasefire stick, but if it doesn't, he will wash his hands of it and say, I have done everything I can, and that this is a European problem now. I also don't think Trump is genuinely serious about a U.S. security guarantee. So there's a long way to go.
So a lot of issues there outstanding. And Carol, he does seem to want to get this done in words anyway. And he's looking ahead to that Nobel Peace Prize, we know. But Donald Trump also still has an eye on conflicts and tensions elsewhere outside of Ukraine.
Yes, this isn't the only one that he's dealing with. We still have phase two of the Gaza ceasefire coming up, and we know that that's going to be incredibly difficult as well, as Hamas has not agreed to disarm. There's also possible airstrikes or possibly even talk of ground invasion of Venezuela. There's strikes against ISIS in Nigeria, which took place there over Christmas, plus all the domestic stuff that he's dealing with, healthcare, the economy, AI, and keeping the Republican Party together. So he's got a very busy agenda ahead.
Busy inbox there. All of this, I suppose, we're looking ahead to the midterm elections, Larry. They're not until November, but all of these issues can be quite divisive. And already people are asking if the Democrats could take the House, if not the Senate. I mean, there's 24 Republican House members who've either resigned or announced their intention not to run, including headline names like Marjorie Taylor Greene. How likely is a blue wave in 2026?
Yeah, I think it should be said that once the Christmas period is over and we're into 2026, we're going to be in full-on campaign mood across the United States. If history, again, is any guide, Democrats should do very well. And if you look at Donald Trump's declining numbers, all signals are there boding well for the Democrats. In addition, they've come across this affordability agenda, the cost of living, which is hitting many Americans, in which Donald Trump foolishly continues to deny is a real problem. If Democrats stick to that affordability agenda, hammer home the messages that I think resonate with people across the country, then they should have a very good day. And indeed, to me, that would mean in all likelihood taking the House and perhaps an outside chance of retaking the Senate, though I think that's probably too big of an ask. The one thing that's out there always with the Democrats is, will they let the perfect be the enemy of the good, in the sense that, you know, look, many of the progressive wing of the party, they've been emboldened by Zoran Mamdani's big win in New York City, but they need to nominate candidates strategically and appropriately. Mamdani plays well in Manhattan. He doesn't play very well in middle America. So who they choose and how their primary electorate, how they make their decisions, that will be a key thing to watch for.
Were those wins in November in New Jersey and Virginia and those governor election contests? And there's also been that issue of the changing of boundaries amid a redistricting process in several states. So what kind of impact might that have, Carol?
Yes, of course, states are busy redrawing their electoral maps to help either Republican or Democrat wins. So far, we've seen Texas withdrew its map to help Republicans into possibly 5 more House seats. And then the California state basically tit for tat retaliated, changing its districts to help 5 more Democrats into House seats. So there is the redistricting race going on as well. Other states are looking at this, like Florida. Ron DeSantis down there is likely to encourage Republicans to redistrict there in order to make seats safer for Republican House members there. Also in Virginia, Indiana tried to block it there with a vote, even Republicans saying, no, we can't be doing this, that this is actually illegal because there are voting laws against this type of thing, but yet it's going on. So the Republicans are going to throw everything at it. Trump himself is hand-picking some of the candidates to make sure that they align with what MAGA believes. Other candidates are being told, no, you can't run. The one thing is they are planning to put Trump out front and center in these midterms. Also to, I suppose, almost make people think that he's running, because they know that during the general elections, people come out for him, but not so much in the midterms. But as Larry says, with his polling doing so badly and people so upset over so many things, is that going to be a good idea this time?
On that, Larry, I mean, the cost of living continues to rise. Inflation held firm in 2025. I mean, Donald Trump is telling people that the US economy is thriving. You see that as a bit of a problem, both with the voting public, and there's also disquiet within his own party, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every time Donald Trump says, you know, the economy is great, things have never been better, voters across America are saying, wait a second, our lives, if anything, are getting harder. Things are getting more expensive. And I think he's hearing that from Republicans in Congress who go back to their districts and saying, you know, what is the president talking about? I'm still paying a lot from everything from, you know, petrol to groceries to everything else in between. And I think that if Trump doesn't pivot on that slightly to acknowledge that things still are taking a while to pick up, then he's got a real problem on his hands. Because remember, perhaps above all else, it was the inflation cost of living agenda and his promise to fix that that made him president for the second time. And in his failure to acknowledge what is still the reality on the ground for so many Americans is deeply problematic. And you may see Republicans who are desperately seeking to hold on to their seats distancing themselves a little bit from President Trump's positive messaging on that front, because, again, it just doesn't add up for many voters.
And there is that disquiet within the Republican Party. And, for example, Marjorie Taylor Greene announcing that she's not only not going to run, but she's going to be gone by January 5th. And some within his own party, Carol, are unhappy with comments and different things, including his ballroom extension.
Yes, the ballroom extension at the White House, or the whole redesigning of that part of the White House, didn't go down well with people. The polls showed that even MAGA supporters didn't like that. The other thing that they were incensed over was his comments about the murder of Rob Reiner and Michelle Reiner, where he basically said that they were murdered due to their Trump obsessive syndrome. That fell completely flat. Again, over Christmas, he was making comments about the Epstein files and the sleaze bags who stuck with Epstein when he was the first one to pull away from him. Those type of comments are not going down well. And particularly the polls at this point are showing that independents are shifting away from him in quite large numbers. And as Larry knows, once the independents move, that can make the shift toward the Democrats bigger. So it looks like anyone who seems to know anything about this says that there will be a blue wave in November, which will more than likely give Democrats the House. How big that wave will be, we don't know, but I suppose there's lots that can happen between now and then.
Former RT Washington correspondent Carol Coleman and analyst and lecturer at University of Galway, Larry Donnelly there.